Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Epworth Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, ladies and gentlemen. Next week is Thanksgiving, and I'll be taking that week after Thanksgiving off, and I'm going to have a bunch of, the best of in the last couple of months. Frack, I mean, you just took a look at the audio archives, and like, man, we've had a lot of shows in the last month alone. So to scroll through them and try and pick out the best of the best week for you, I can assure you, you're going to be wanting to listen to that, even if it ain't live, even if you've heard the shows before, because there's so many things about talking to the people that we do on this program that don't sink in right away. Kind of like watching a really intellectual movie, and when you watch it the second time, you see so much more, and there's a lot more dimension to it, you know what I'm saying? Andy Bushago is my guest, one of these very people who you should be listening to again and again to try and soak up this story and the reality of it. Because basically, if you think you know what's going on, that's when you know that you haven't got anything figured out properly. That's my perspective. The wisest person is the one who realizes how dumb he truly is, essentially. Andy, welcome back.
Good to be back, Vinny.
Now, what were we talking about before we came up from the last break there?
Well, I was talking about the fact that when I run for president, that the centerpiece of my new energy platform is going to be declassification and deployment globally in an international program of technology transfer by the United States government of the secret Tesla-based Vortal teleportation technology that it's concealed within the inner realms of the U.S. government for at least 45 years, because I'm 51, and it was at age 6 that I first teleported with my late father from New Jersey to New Mexico around the time that DARPA's Project Pegasus was being launched. And, in biological and anthropological and social terms, a human generation is 20 years. That's around the time that people can leave their parents' household and get married and have children themselves. So we've had a multi-generational cover-up of an incredibly valuable technology that we could have been using to get, for example, between major world cities in seconds around 1970. There's been a 42-year cover-up if we were to date the operationalization of the technology to 1970. And that's simply unacceptable. And that's the principal reason I'm speaking out about the time travel program. I'm not endorsing the notion that the mass public should be able to access mass timelines, you know, with mass time travel, because that would result in mass chaos. But I am calling for the introduction of Tesla teleportation for real-time transport, because there's no longer any need for us to be strapping 4,000 pounds of metal around our waist and driving down the street. These are antiquated technologies. We are stuck in the 70s. You know, so when you go into a family restaurant in the United States, you hear a James Taylor song on the Muzak, right, at a Denny's or something. Well, we're also stuck in the 1970s in terms of our transportation infrastructure. All they've done is make the cars a little smaller and a little more futuristic looking. We're still dealing with the same outmoded internal combustion technology. So to that extent, Mr. Gore was right in his book Earth in the Balance when he made that statement. It was very true. But we can't just bemoan the fact that climate change is upon us. We need a response. Every historical challenge requires responses. And it's my conviction that one of the principal responses is the introduction of this secret technology into society at large. It would be very beneficial.
Well, I always thought about this phrase, something about the journey being the best part, not the destination. With teleportation, it'd be great because you get to cut out the middleman. And the only reason why people are really trying to say, "Oh, the journey is what really counts," and getting there or whatever, is because they don't have a choice. they're either stuck in traffic and they have to rationalize and figure out how much better everything could be if this stuff didn't exist. And here we have it. And I've been a sci-fi fan for a long time, and I had this idea of a military and a domestic application for what I called time travel pads, kind of like about the size of a doormat or whatever. You step onto it, you tell it which location or which other pad that you want to jump to, and it sends you there. But before it sends you there, it sends a message to that other jump pad. Like, let's say, for example, you're going from your house to your friend's house across the country, and you just wanted to, you know, knock on their door and pay them a visit. So you dial in your doormat, and then their doormat rings, and as soon as they open the door, your doormat goes green, and you go bling straight through. So if they don't want to answer the door or they're not home, it'll just ring for a few seconds like a telephone, and then say no response, and you can't come. And that ensures a security lock on it, because one of the other things that was concerned to people who I told this idea was, what if somebody tries to burgle your house using the teleportation technology? And I say, well, you've got to have a shield or whatever, because imagine, Andy, that there was a teleportation pad in a bank vault or something of that nature, and how easy it would be for a high-tech criminal to just go, ding, grab a whole bunch of stuff, and then ding, he's out again. So it produces a whole world of legislation that might actually be introduced in order to ensure the safety and the non-criminal use of such sophisticated technology. Much as it's illegal to hit somebody with a car, it's illegal to sabotage somebody's teleportation pad at their house so that it shreds them into a pink mist when it turns on.
Well, there's really two issues in that area. If we're talking about how the advent of teleportation secretly over 40 years ago relates to security issues. So let me just address those on the macro level and then on the micro level. At the nation state level, there is a national security interest on the part of the major nations that might be invaded via teleportation by, for example, an aggressor nation, a terrorist cell, or an organized criminal network to establish a teleportation infrastructure. In the same way that, for example, if a policeman is separated from his squad car in the United States, I don't know if it's true in other countries, but a policeman can commandeer a taxi or somebody's private vehicle. So to analogize to the level of teleportation, if a significant teleportation infrastructure could be secretly built by a hegemonistic country, by a terror organization, or by a group of organized criminals who would use it, let's say, to commit bank robberies and then teleport away from the scene of the crime. Therefore, it's in the national security of all of the major nations that would have assets worth invading via teleportation to launch an emergency program to establish a substantial teleportation infrastructure at the nation state level, because then they can occupy the field in time space and not be taken advantage of by surprise teleportation from some group of malefactors.
So that's kind of like having a radio frequency band that you pay for and nobody else is able to broadcast on that frequency?
Or like the motive that President Dwight David Eisenhower had in the United States after World War II, where he sponsored the legislation to build our interstate highway system so that soldiers and materiel and workers could be rapidly moved, let's say, from the East Coast to the West Coast. In other words, when you have an infrastructure that's greater than your potential adversary, the advantage that you have is to fend a surprise attack. I mean, if there had been enough time and big enough guns at the Pearl Harbor, all of the Japanese planes would have been shot out of the sky, right? So to analogize here, because we know that Tesla teleportation was fully operational secretly in the United States government, and we know that the Klaus Fuchs spy ring, at a minimum, penetrated the Los Alamos National Labs with Soviet spies, and because there's been enough time for teleportation to be developed independently based on the derivation of the same principles and the same devices, in fact, all of the major nations have a profound security interest in establishing a teleportation infrastructure yesterday. Okay, so I'm speaking out as a concerned citizen that we occupy, when I say we, that the lawful, law-abiding, nonviolent majority of countries and people inside of countries come into possession of teleportation so that we can fend the misuse of this technology by an aggressor nation, terrorist group, or criminal organization.
Andy.
Sir.
Has this happened before? Has a country in possession of time travel or teleportation technology used it in terms of a military strike or operation against an enemy?
No, but non-lethal weapons technology moved from its development by people like Dr. Eldon Bird, who was a personal friend of mine, who was warning the world about the fact that psychotronic weapons had been gone black. It went from basically his project for the Army and Navy, to the CIA, and then into rogue elements of the intelligence community, and then into organized criminal hands. So we know that organized criminals in the United States have been using psychotronic weapons technology against individuals, and I'm analogizing and say, well, wait a minute. Teleportation technology could be used in a similar pernicious rogue way, and the only thing to defend ourselves from that would be a teleportation infrastructure that would be larger and more effective that would be in the hands of the government, because the government is what you create to handle problems that individuals can't solve separately, right? You need government to solve abiding problems of social organization. So there is a macro security issue around the fact that we haven't developed an extensive teleportation network, and that is that those three types of organizations could do so and overwhelm us with troops, somehow shut down our access to time-space travel, and so forth. In the same way that you seize a military objective could be seized in time-space, not on the terrestrial plane. On the micro level, there's the need for the kind of nuanced approach that you're describing, which is, if I can teleport from my home to the grocery store, I can teleport into a bank vault or into my neighbor's bedroom. So we're going to have to find ways to check the destination points, to block the destination points. And again, that would require government. So I'm not calling for everybody teleporting from their home teleport like the Jetsons, you know, had spacecraft. I'm talking about a government-administered transportation program like the commercial air passenger system, where the teleports would be at centralized locations, they would be under government authority, and the large teleports would be at where airports are, and they would be defended by armed guards in the same way that Heathrow is. So I'm not talking about the willy-nilly development of this. I'm talking about using this to make the technology of the 1970s obsolete and to implement more efficient transport. Not to create a chaotic system where everybody would be able to teleport into
and also
to spy on their neighbors.
Yeah. Well, you could convert the TSA into the teleportation security agency, and you wouldn't even have to change the designs on the uniform.
Well, as president, I put all we need at airports, which is dogs capable of sniffing out every form of contraband that you could take on an airliner. That we'd have the opportunity to do that, because you could get rid of the TSA, just put the sniffer dogs under the border patrol, and actually maybe evolve the TSA into the teleportation security agency, protecting the teleports and not having all of us undress at the airport, which is ignominious enough. But being so passive that, in a sense, we're being treated as we deserve, because we're not getting on our hind legs here and say, wait a minute, our fathers, our grandfathers, others' generation developed secret technologies. Let's implement them. We paid for them. You know, that was the argument that Governor Jesse Ventura made with me when I filmed his show, which is going to be seen in the States on next Wednesday on November 21st.
It'll be on True TV?
Right, on True TV. I'm appearing in his time travel cover-up segment on conspiracy theory with Jesse Ventura. He said to me, you know, I think you want this technology out because you were involved in its development with your dad, and it's obviously was a major part of your childhood. I want these technologies known about and then used because I'm something called a taxpayer. I mean, what the hell have we been doing giving the U.S. defense technical community trillions of dollars over 65 years for them to develop in this case, a transportation technology that could be several order of magnitude more efficient in terms of time, energy, environmental effect, convenience, public health, public safety, only to keep it secret for 65 years. That's no kind of good society. That's not any vision of a good society. The American people, for example, have to work until May to make their own money after paying their federal and state and local taxes. Well, if their money is then going to technical boondoggles that are only boondoggles in the sense that the technologies aren't being socially applied to improve human society, that's basically an oppressive dystopian reality that we're living in, where the fruits of our tax dollars are kept back from us that aren't used to make our lives safer, more efficient, less costly, more environmentally benign, more medically safe. So I'm speaking out because the people have an interest in utilizing this technology to be advantaged in the 21st century. You know, I want to teleport from Seattle to London so I can then maybe take an electric car or bus up from Heathrow or Gatwick up to Cambridge to meet with one of my props from Cambridge. I should have had the ability to do that if this technology had been implemented in 1970. I should have been able to teleport to Cambridge.
Well, hold on. And if we come to break again, we've got two more segments left, ladies and gentlemen. If you are listening, then please jump on your Facebook, jump on whatever social media you've got, and tell people to listen into the live streams at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the chat room at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We'll be right back in just a few minutes with Andy Bishago.